It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosi.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sosi. The show is available as a podcast, and it's also available on iTunes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is mid-October, which means it's that time of year again. Yes, for that. And for that, but we're here to talk about this. Bard Fest is at, all right, Halloween, Heartland Film Festival, and all that. So Bard Fest is happening. It is running through the, if I remember right, the 19th through the 29th. Am I saying that? Okay, let me turn the mics on and not introduce you. Welcome to Prepared Radio, folks. Anyway, you can go to IndieBardFest.com for information, and we decided to pick the most October play to have in studio, and there's no superstitions about saying it on the radio. It's fine. Hashtag neurotic actors. But anyway, I'm going to have everybody verbally sign in and what your part is in the show, and then we'll get up and flying, sir.
Hello, I'm Adam Tran, and I'm portraying Macbeth.
Hey, I'm Devin Mathias, and I'm Lady Macbeth.
And my name is Carrie Shea, and I am the director.
How are they doing?
They are doing really well.
And you would say that even if you weren't here, so.
Because we'd hear it later.
So we have four shows, actually. The Complete Works of Shakespeare on a Bridge. We have Macbeth. A 70s disco version, Vegas version, I should say, of Taming of the Shrew.
Sort of. An 80s lounge act.
Lounge act.
Vegas
okay.
lounge
so,
act, yeah.
So 70s Elvis influence.
Probably, yeah.
Probably.
I've seen pictures, but I've not seen the costumes yet.
Correct. And Cymbaline.
And Cymbaline. Yeah, so much done.
Well, Richmond Shakespeare did it earlier this year. So I think between this and Richmond's, I think I might be good for Cymbaline for a good 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, it's one of those plays that they say that it has everything in it. It has all of Shakespeare's things in it. There's I don't know much about it myself, but twins, floods, shipwrecks.
Talking to the moon.
And by the way, cast and crew, Cymbeline, we love you. We'll do the best we can. But
Cymbeline is not the queen.
No. No, it is not.
And it's not about the king, who is Cymbeline. It's much more about the princess. I'm learning a lot about this show, actually.
Yeah, Imogen and Posthumus. Mm-hmm.
Othello doesn't know what you're talking about. So give the dates for Macbeth.
Yes, I have it right here. So Macbeth will open on the 21st, which is Saturday night, and then we'll run the 22nd, and then we have four performances the next weekend, the 26th, 27th, 28th, and 29th.
There you go. So, yes, once again, go to IndieBardFest.com for all the information. That's a fun quartet right there.
It is. It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Before we talk about Macbeth and Shakespeare and theater and Shakespeare films and all that stuff and what these people have watched recently. I've had guests like prepare like it's exams. I was watching something last night. Oh, okay. Thank you. It wasn't required, but I appreciate it. All right. Opening in theaters this weekend. So we have, because you don't have enough choices going on. I guess I should start. The Heartland Film Festival is, of course, up and flying. You can go to heartlandfilmfestival.org. It is running October through October 22nd. Choices, choices. So you can check out films like The S-Word, Skid Row Marathon, Tattered Malian, hope I'm saying that right, Home Truth, The Maestro, Instrument of War, No Roads In, 20 Weeks, I Can, I Will, I Did, and The Dating Projects, and other emails that have been sent to me by filmmakers. So anyway, there, I mentioned your show. You go heartlandfilmfestival.org for more information on that. If you are in Richmond next weekend at Richmond Civic Theater, you have Informed Consent running October 20th and 21st. That is a Friday and Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. You can go to gorct.org for more information. Full disclosure, I'm directing this, and my daughter is my AD. That's fun.
That's so cool.
This is our two of three projects that we are working on together.
Which means she's running the show.
Oh, I'm the third smartest person in my house, Adam. You know that. You know this. It's a Jane Austen world. I'm just Mr. Bennett. Just give me my pipe and my paper. I'll just be over here. So anyway, all right. So, but opening in theaters, we have The Foreigner. No, it's not the play.
Oh,
it is. Here's your team: Jackie Chan versus Pierce Brosnan, and it's directed by Martin Campbell, who of course directed GoldenEye. Chan is a father whose child is killed in an act of terrorism. Brosnan is a government official with a past with the IRA, and Chan wants answers, and Brosnan doesn't want to give them to him. So
don't want to be Pierce.
Don't want to be Pierce. So exactly. But so anyway, fascinating. But apparently, it hasn't happened here in the States. But Chan has had some darker performances overseas. They just haven't really translated over here. But this is a grim performance. And yes, you still have a 60-something man that is still capable of some of the stunts we all know and love. I don't think there's an injury gag reel at the end of this picture.
No. So, doesn't seem like it.
Probably not. Also opening this weekend, because it's October, the horror film Happy Death Day, which apparently sounds like a slasher version of Groundhog Day. If
she
you've
dies
seen the trailer.
Every day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I've seen.
And then we have Marshall, which is not the West Virginia football school, but it's Chadwick Boseman, who plays Thurgood Marshall as a young lawyer. So
I've seen the preview.
I think at the very
cool.
What sounds like a consistency, also like very similar to Boseman's breakout role in Get On Up, is the script might not be the most original, but he's really, really good in it. So there is that. And also, don't know if this is a first date film, ladies and gentlemen, but Professor Marston and the Wonder Women, which is about the gentleman who created the Wonder Woman character. It stars Luke Evans and Rebecca Hall. And if you know the behind the scenes of that man, and well, there's two other ladies involved. Just leave it. And this is in the 1940s.
This sounds like a movie that would have been made regardless of the success of a certain movie coming out last year.
It sure as heck helps. But so that is out there. Okay, so. All right, I guess I should. I have this, and I brought it up. Can you think of a first date film you experienced?
Yeah.
Okay, Adam. So yeah. Talk radio.
I was 16, I think, and we went to see Hope Floats, and we were promptly thrown out of the theater about 25 minutes in.
That sounds about right.
Dare we ask why?
You shouldn't.
I mean, essentially for the same reason you go to see Titanic 37 times in the theater, and not for Kate Winslet, but because it's a long movie.
I was like, Kate Winslet is not in Hope Floats.
No.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. All right. Can you clean it up?
The first date movie that I watched with my now husband was Blazing Saddles.
Your choice or his?
His. But I think it was kind of like a litmus test.
Oh, totally.
Like, can she hang?
And you did?
Apparently well enough, I guess.
They're married now. It worked out.
You've been married how long?
It was 5 years. So it was
cool.
It was actually two movies. It was that and Reefer Madness, the musical movie.
Oh.
So like he was really, he threw me in the deep end. I think I did okay.
I did that to Mrs. Sosie.
Yeah.
We watched, I dragged her to a lot of stuff in our courting period. And then About a month after we got married, I was in the living room watching, and I think it was Foxy Brown, but I remember saying, "Honey, there's a Pam Grier movie on. You should come in." And she actually said, "Do I really need to watch that?" Oh, I guess not. Okay, fine. So
she stuck her ground.
She did stick her ground. But yeah, but I dragged her to, you know, Enter the Dragon and Hammer Horror and more blaxploitation than she ever imagined. And almost 18 years later, we're all right. So
still doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to remember, but I would say it was the opposite.
This isn't the newlywed game.
So whereas your husband gave you the litmus test, my wife gave me the litmus test.
And really?
Hers, I think the first like couple things we watched were Requiem for a Dream.
Oh, good God.
And Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Oh, yeah.
Not together, I hope.
Back to back was like
a
double
weird
feature.
Double
no.
Feature.
That would
no,
be
I don't,
a lot.
I don't think it was back to back.
A weird double feature.
But yeah, it was. She had more interesting taste than I did as a freshman in college.
Your first film with her was Requiem.
Maybe not first, but pretty early.
Oh my!
Pretty early
God.
On.
God.
Yeah, she took me through like all of her favorite films, and those were there.
Curl up in a fetal position after
roughly
that.
Yeah, and then and lame as I am, I probably showed like Victor Victoria or something like that afterwards.
No, so there's nothing wrong with that.
We
but
lame.
Not well, but a different. We were on different paths before we met.
Yeah, I learned in a couple things with a film that you are passionate about might not be the best thing to inflict on somebody in an early relationship. There was a wonderful girl I dated in college. And I remember showing her I think back to back, Taxi Driver, then A Clockwork Orange.
Oh, that's tough.
That's loaded.
Yeah, a few months later it was done. But but I know from a film geek standpoint, you're like, no, this filmmaker's important, and you should see this. And
Yeah.
You know, we've done that. I had a first date that was Cape Fear. Nah, her choice.
Okay.
And then a buddy of mine dragged a first date to Platoon because he loved Oliver Stone.
Man.
So yeah. Well,
how'd that go?
It did not. But he is doing fine.
My
he's happily.
He went there for the movie. He went there for the movie.
No, you totally went for the movie. Yeah, you're not. Well, yeah. It's not like you're sitting through Requiem going, "That's us in 2 hours." Just no.
My wife and I did a movie swap when we first got together, and the first two movies that we swapped were I had her watch In Bruges.
And
that's a young relationship right there.
He actually does Colin Farrell sitting next to her. It's in stereo.
I'm not sure Colin Farrell was famous when I started dating my wife.
And then, yeah. Oh, wow.
He did Colin Farrell for me a little bit in a show we worked together in once many moons ago.
I did.
Yes, you did. Yeah.
He's got a very nice Irish accent.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Full disclosure. Yeah, because I directed Adam.
It's this story every...
Yeah, I love this. No, I directed Adam many moons ago. And he was a man of a dozen voices in a production of It's a Wonderful Life at Anderson University. The biggest role, he was Clarence. And yeah, I'll tell this. So the first read through, he did Clarence as Russell Brand. And thought, okay, cute college kid. Ha, yeah, that's okay, fine. Second night, still did it. Oh, he's serious. So I pulled him aside and I said, "Look, you can keep him English, but Clarence can't have anything to do with Katy Perry. Sorry, you just can't." So he modified it, but yeah, he had many, many different voices, and he was very excited that he got to do his Irish accent because he told me he had done accents in numerous shows, but he had not had a chance to do his Irish. So I was able to take that off his list. You're welcome.
Thanks.
So you showed her In Bruges.
Yeah,
great travelogue film.
Right. And she showed me The Hours, which I hadn't seen.
Really?
Yeah, and I was like, oh, well, she's got significantly more sophisticated taste in film than I do. Although, In Bruges was a pretty good movie.
It is. Well, I mean, it's apples and oranges, but they're still quality fruit.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, nice.
See?
Your pledge
dollars at work, see?
Wow.
All right. Anyway, so yeah, great first date film. So anyway, that is. So I don't know if Professor Marston and the Wonder Women are on there, but I know everyone's going to be scurrying for the trailers now as soon as the show is over. Let me see this. Okay, but the film I really want to talk about, and I'm really glad I got to see this, and this is opening, of course, at the Art House on the north side, the one with the bar. But it's a documentary called Faces, Places, and it's about two different artists. We have Agnes Varda, who is a filmmaker, almost 90 years old, who goes on the road with a multimedia artist who goes by JR or Junior. And they have this big truck that is also one. It's a photo mat, not a photo mat, but the things that you get the really bad mug shots, the little strip of film.
Oh, like a photo booth.
A photo booth.
Yeah.
It's a photo booth on wheels. And what they do is they visit different parts of France. It's subtitled, get over it. but what they do is they photograph the locals, and it has a huge printout, and then they kind of just paste the images of these people on this, out in public. And that's pretty much the film. So it's part road picture, part of the beauty of what art can do. As they say in the film, every face has a story. Every face has a background. And so everything from an old mining town, and there's only one occupant left, so they photographed her and put her on the side of the house. Animals that are on a farm, they put them on the sides of barns. A housing development that ran out of money and they just kept it dilapidated, they throw a picnic, take pictures of the locals, and put them up on these abandoned houses. So it's putting art in unlikely places, sides of trains, sides of loading cars on a dock. It's really lovely, inspirational work about where art comes from the unlikeliest of places, and art subjects come from the unlikeliest of places. So this is a little film that could, and I have a feeling it might only last a week in town. I definitely would go check it out, especially during the day if you have rehearsal at night. But Varda worked with the likes of Godard, and there's a little through-line story involving Jean-Luc Godard, but I don't want to give that away. But the fact that these two, who have almost nothing in common except for the project itself, and they banter well, and you get a lot of beautiful footage of the French countryside and the art itself. So don't miss this. And demand, if you still have video boxes, demand that they carry it as well. So that's the thing to go check out.
Sounds great.
This weekend.
I'm imagining a cannonball run for sophisticated people.
Are you? That would be Tulane Blacktop.
I don't know what the movie is, but
you don't know Tulane Blacktop?
I've got one to watch.
It's a road picture from the early 70s with James Taylor, Dennis Wilson, and Warren Oates.
What a pedigree.
So look, I know. Now they're IMDb searchers.
Yeah, I'm on board for that one.
There
now.
You go. Well, it's not. It's one of the finer car films of the 70s. It's the one of the more headcase ones. It's not. Vanishing Point or Bullet. Where it's one gigantic car chase or one great car chase sequence. It is a race between the two young guys and the Warren Oates character. But if you like a little sophistication with your race movies, there is that. All right. Speaking of Keystone Arts, it is midnight. And actually, you could... Now, here's a double feature. Go see your guys' show and then see one of these. All right. Ooh. This weekend at the Keystone Arts, so if you're listening to this on Saturday, you could still go see this at midnight tonight, the 35th anniversary of George Romero's Creepshow, the very first one. I'm old enough, I saw this in the theater. So Hal Holbrook, Adrian Barbeau, Leslie Nielsen, Ted Danson, E.G. Marshall. It's a series of short films based on the Creepshow comic, magazine, what have you. But that is running tonight at midnight. Next weekend, so you could go see a show at Bardfest, and then at midnight see everyone's favorite 80s lesbian vampire movie, The Hunger, starring Susan Sarandon, Catherine Deneuve, and David Bowie, directed by Tony Scott. Yeah, Ridley's brother, the guy who did True Romance, among others. And it's shot like an 80s MTV video because it's 1982.
I'm intrigued.
Oh, yeah. Bowie and Deneuve are a couple, sort of, kind of. They have an understanding, kind of like you two.
But,
and in the play.
Macbeth and Lady Macbeth, we should
right,
clarify.
Yes. Anyway. And, of course, Susan Sarandon becomes a target. And there's a great documentary called The Celluloid Closet, and Sarandon is interviewed about Thelma and Louise and about this film. And she talks about how, because it's 82, because it's Tony Scott, it's shot like a Playboy video. There's a lot of, opera and sheets hanging in the wind and, a lot of gloss. And So anyway, that's out there. And then October 27th and 28th at midnight at Keystone Arts, the original Halloween.
It's the weekend for it.
So that is worth checking out. I was 8, and my dad dragged me to this. Of course, my 14-year-old brother really wanted to go. And so I thought I would be brave 8-year-old idiot and went with him. This was the film I remember that I had seen Jaws 3 years prior, and that scared the bejesus out of me. But
well, you were 5.
I was 5. On the coast of New Jersey as well.
Yeah.
Didn't do well.
No.
Did your dad drag you to this as well?
Jaws? Yeah, he did. So I probably,
learned a lot.
There is that thing of, as a kid, you want to see what the grown-ups want to watch.
Yeah, sure.
Of course.
So, like this. But what I remember was, the eyes, covering the face. But this was the first scary film that I heard laughter in the audience. And that confused me because I was 8 and I didn't know any better. So, and as time went on and I got older, I'm like, some people enjoy being scared out of their wits. I was never a roller coaster guy or a spook house guy, so I didn't know.
Maybe because you saw Jaws when you were 5.
Yeah.
Probably. But I also realized that was the power of cinema. So, and this show is here.
Right.
All right. over at the Tibbs Drive-In. Been to the drive-in?
Not that one, I don't think, no.
But in general?
Yes, of course. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember what you saw?
My first drive-in?
Or the last time you went?
My first drive-in was the double feature of The Lion King when it first came out.
Nice.
And Angels in the Outfield starring one Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
That's a good combo.
Pretty good. Yeah. That's pretty good.
My grandma took my cousin and I to see Dennis the Menace with Christopher Lloyd as the scary homeless man.
And
Walter
was in mine.
Walter Matthau, I believe, was Mr. Wilson in that.
Yes, he was. Yeah. And she told us that the bathrooms were dirty enough that she threatened. She brought a bucket that if we had to go to the bathroom, we would have to use the bucket.
Wow.
So, yeah, I
Thank
know.
She
was
also
sharing.
Five. And then
she was 5.
I was pretty young, and my cousin was scared, so we left early.
Dennis the Menace, when did that come out?
90s.
Yeah,
because
I guess so.
I was out of college, I think, when that came out. So probably mid-90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Adam?
The last time I went, I think we saw the first Guardians movie. But I used to go a lot. I mean, I've been to the Tibbs one several times, but there's one in Spencer, Indiana, that I've gone to several times.
Cool. Yeah. All right. So we're just going to go through this, because sometimes there are odd pairings. Like, I always remember the story that when Arthur, the original, came out, and then the second film was 10. I'm like, okay, Dudley Moore double feature. But, of course, nowadays they have to be recent films. You can't just kind of. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, Screen 1, and sometimes you have to figure out why they paired, the pairings are there. So here we go. At the Tibbs, Screen 1, Happy Death Day and American Maid.
You can see two movies at once.
Right. Same studio. I don't know. Screen 2, The Foreigner and Kingsman: The Golden Circle.
I mean, they're both foreign flicks. Oh.
England is a foreign country.
I mean,
that's
true.
Screen 3, Flatliners and Blade Runner 2049. Two remakes not needed. No, I'm kidding. I really liked Blade Runner. So.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, there's that. R-rated sci-fi. And then Screen 4, Till Death Do Us Part, and It. Scary suspense stuff? Yeah. There
don't
you go.
Have kids?
Yes. Yeah, don't be my dad today. okay, so that's happening over there. Over at the Skyline Drive-In in Shelbyville, that's, of course, east of here. Wow. So here's a good opportunity. At 8 o'clock, the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Wow.
And then?
At 8 o'clock, 9:45, George Romero's The Crazies.
Oh.
The original.
They're doing a prologue to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Or a prequel.
Leatherface.
Thank you.
No, origin story.
Reboot? No.
Right. And then at 11:45, the original Night of the Living Dead.
On the same night.
Same screen.
It's beautiful that night, too. That'd be fun.
So there you go. If you're listening to this Saturday night, you have your Saturday night planned. Head over to Shelbyville. That is happening over at the Skyline. Okay, over at IU Cinema Again, if you're listening to this on Saturday, you could still go down at 3 o'clock and see Ingmar Bergman's Wild Strawberries from 1957, must see on big screen. At 7 o'clock, the 2017 drama Beach Rats. Tomorrow at 3 o'clock, you have Finding Seon from 2011 at 3 o'clock. Beach Rats is playing at 6:30 p.m. on Sunday the 15th. Monday the 16th, as a part of the President's Choice, and I actually... Yeah, I own this film. It's Russian Ark. It's a 2002 Russian film about basically the as the camera travels through a Russian art gallery, you get a lesson in the history of Russia itself.
Oh, wow.
In one single take.
It's crazy.
A 90-minute take.
Wow.
My mom took me to that in 2002.
Really?
Yeah.
Way to go, Mom.
I was going to say, that's what she took me to. I wasn't five.
Excellent. I took a few tries before they were able to get it. So if you're a fan of filmmaking, it's pretty impressive. Thursday, October 19th, just added at 7 o'clock, Lucky, also known as Harry Dean Stanton's Swan Song, the final film of that. Friday, October 20th. Ooh, choices of choices in Central Indiana. They're doing a cage match, gang. 6:30 p.m., Con Air. 9 o'clock, Face Off.
Yeah! Oh, wait a minute. Do we open? No, we don't.
No.
We don't open that night.
I'll be at a Blazers game.
You should
night.
Go see Cymbeline that night.
Yes, you should.
Get off my plane.
I love Cymbeline.
Get off my face.
I'm excited.
I think Cymbaline's going to be awesome.
I'm excited
what they
for
worked
people
on is beautiful.
Oh, yeah. But there's more.
Con Air, Face
because,
Off.
Because, yeah, Con Air and Face Off,
should we guess,
wasn't enough.
Should we guess what the other...
It's at midnight. It's not a Nick Cage film. I'm sorry.
Get the gringo.
Did you see that? I actually saw that.
Yeah, I saw
it. Yeah. No Jews in prison, apparently.
I think I'm offended. I don't have enough context,
I'll put it. It's a Mel Gibson film.
There it is.
Yeah. Anyway, no. At midnight, as if the two Cage films weren't enough, Bubba Hotep.
Really?
Yes.
Nope. Wouldn't have guessed that.
See. So there's plans right there.
So you should see. Taming of the Shrew with the 80s lounge
and then
act, and then go see
Tall Tale down the Bloomington and see Bubba Hotep. Yeah. So there you go. See,
there's your evening.
Bardfest folks, thank you for being patient. you'll see the show. And then Saturday the 21st at 3 o'clock, the 1966 film A Man for All Seasons with Paul Scofield, Robert Shaw. 7 o'clock, The Land Between. That's both on the 21st. Loving at 6:30 p.m. on Sunday the 22nd. So there's plenty of stuff going on over there. Over at the Historic Art Craft Theater, again, if you're listening to this on Saturday, because this show airs three times in 3 days, at 7:30 p.m., the original Halloween down in Franklin. Tuesday, October 17th, and I believe this is a free admission, Ponyo for you Miyazaki fans.
Okay. Mm.
Also, I think the first Miyazaki, that's Miyazaki 101 right there, Studio Ghibli's Ponyo. Friday and Saturday, October 20th and 21st, again, competition at 2, actually, you can go at 2 o'clock, and then there's a re-screening at 7:30 p.m., Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
Ooh. Oh, man.
Oh.
Yeah, and there's that. And then Tuesday the 24th, at 7:30 p.m. at the Art Craft Theater, I would love to see this on the big screen, Bride and Prejudice, a Bollywood version of Pride and Prejudice. But
yeah.
It's not 3.5 hours long, as much as I enjoy Bollywood. Friday and Saturday, October 27th and 28th, the original Addams Family, both nights. There's that. Thank you, Gomez. Yep. And then Friday, November 3rd, Sense and Sensibility.
Oh,
there on the big screen.
Is that the Emma Thompson?
That's the Art Craft Theater in Franklin.
Man. It's one of Kelsey's favorite movies, Sense and Sensibility.
It's a fabulous movie.
I always use that film as an example. I've heard that my favorite use of CG, Ang Lee used CG to add clouds to a film, right?
It's so not specific.
It's not just for robot monsters anymore. You know what? Not enough clouds. Put them up there.
Good job, Ang.
Yeah. Okay. I swear we'll get the Bardfest. Stay with me. New on DVD and Blu-ray this week. Actually, a really good week between Faces Places. You have two of the better films that come out earlier this year are now both on home video. Baby Driver is now out on video.
Just came on my Apple iTunes.
Yep. This is Edgar Wright has a way. Edgar Wright has a way. That's fine. It's an ad endorsement. we were talking endorsements earlier. Edgar Wright has a way of making a genre film, and then it's so well done, you don't need to see that genre for a good decade. Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, Scott Pilgrim versus the World, yeah. The World's End, and now he's done the heist film. Except I'm a guy of a certain age, and we like cars going fast with lots of music. And that's what this film is. So that is out there. Also,
the best heist film since Tower Heist.
Oh, boy.
Did you notice the tumbleweeds?
Get out.
It took me a few minutes to even, like, or seconds to put that together
so
with what
sad,
that was.
I think that's I good saw acting, that movie
Adam.
For
that's
free.
Good.
Oh, it hurt my feelings watching that movie.
My daughter wanted to see that, and there was a moment I said, you can't watch that film until you watch Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
Is what I call it.
The original Ocean's 11.
Soderbergh. Yeah.
No, Soderbergh's great. But,
yes. But she digs Frank. She likes Frank. But I got a feeling, you have to admit, the pacing of the film, especially,
first off,
don't watch both Ocean's 11 together.
No.
No, that's a bad combo.
Yeah.
But the pacing's a little different.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
And you could tell the Rat Pack had better places to be sometimes.
Yeah, during shooting.
Yeah.
Are we done? Can we take a steam? We'll get out of here. So, anyway, I said you have to watch Ocean's 11 before you watch that. And I still don't think I showed it to her. So, anyway.
Yeah,
thanks for bringing up Tower Heist. Stiller and Murphy appreciate it.
I know.
But also on DVD and Blu-ray, a film I think not enough people have seen, and hopefully they will, Sofia Coppola's version of The Beguiled. This is for a lot of folks. It's a remake. This is the one. It's Colin Farrell and Nicole Kidman, Elle Fanning, Kirsten Dunst. It's set in a woman's boarding house during the Civil War. Farrell plays one of the Blue Bloods who's injured and he's taken in for healing. And he has a way of seducing the ladies, including
all of them,
pretty much all of them. So
the women in the movie.
Kind of feral too. But the original film was done by Don Siegel in 1971 with Clint Eastwood and Geraldine Page. And you've not heard of this.
No.
You should go check it out. It's interesting because I like both films, but for different reasons. What I appreciate about the remake is that it is done from a female's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more about because The Beguiled, I mean, this is it's Eastwood and Siegel. They'd work together. Mm-hmm. They would later work together on Dirty Harry and Escape from Alcatraz. So they know each other. But the tone, now also the fact that acting has changed in 45 years. But but the tone. Not necessarily.
Just
every era has its Rembrandts, and every era has its dogs playing poker. So it's like trying to compare athletes then and now or actors then. It's kind of pointless. Anyway, I do like this one. It is more subdued compared to the original, but it is still a Southern Gothic film. But laid back performances by Kidman and Dunst and Fanning, and it's not as there's some misogynistic moments in the original, and there's less of it in this one. Mm-hmm. So, cool. But anyway, it looks cool. Sofia, say what you will, but Sofia Coppola's films always look really good. And anyway, so that is out on video this week. Also, for Criterion, speaking of timing, Orson Welles' Othello is now out.
Oh.
So from 1952. All right. So, Bardfest. IndieBardFest.com. I have the director and the two leads from Macbeth here. I guess what always happens when Shakespeare comes up, so of course it's Macbeth, Taming of the Shrew, Cymbeline, and Complete Works of Shakespeare on a Bridge. I guess we start with, what era is it in? I know you get that, it's probably right out the gate, right?
Yeah.
What's the setting? What are the costumes?
We have it. It's really fun. It's
yes.
not. It's kind of scary, actually.
As much fun as this bloody show can be.
It's, I don't know, without sounding too whatever I'm going to sound when I say this. I kind of said it in a alternate present. So it's present day and maybe not even alternate, depending on where you live, to my experience, alternate reality. But
there's no orange-haired characters in this. Let's put it that way.
Oddly that you say that. No, there's not.
Okay.
But The inspiration for it was actually, Donald Trump's inauguration address.
It's not just for Julius Caesar anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And that came out right after I was telling a few friends of mine, like, I think this is how I'm going to set
this.
And
then you're like, oh, crud.
Happened, like,
this is public radio. No one's going to be upset that you're, like, setting it, like, you're, like, using it to, like...
Right.
Thank you, dear.
So that's good. The Thanes of Scotland are a police force in a city, modern-day
Charlottesville.
Setting.
Charlottesville. No, sorry.
Well,
I'm sorry.
More like
Adam's
like
not
a
making
drug,
eye contact.
Like a special task, like drug force.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to a racial.
Yes,
element.
Yes. It's very much yeah. So there's a lot of guns and drugs. That is the basis.
So it's licensed to kill, basically.
It's fun for the whole family.
That's right.
Well, it depends on the family, really.
Because the Shakespeare that I've directed oftentimes, and a lot of Shakespeare does, but some have a lot of a supernatural element. You know, like
yes.
Tempest or Macbeth, things
this
like that.
This has ghosts and witches.
Exactly. So how do you justify having ghosts in your world if you're taking out sort of the fantastical element, drugs?
There you go. Nice.
Hi, Mom.
But your mom's listening, so that's good.
That's good.
Okay, so, I mean, all right, so I guess before this, how many different productions of Macbeth have you all seen?
That's a good question. Live or...
Yeah, we talked a little bit, Adam and I earlier were talking about, there's a few film versions of mm-hmm. Macbeth, and actually I think I own most of them, but anyway, but no, as far as maybe seeing it for yourself, whether mm-hmm. it's on stage or in film.
It's the one that I've seen the fewest movies of. Mm. I was watching the one I was working on, kind of going through was the Patrick Stewart version.
Yes, and PBS.
Stalinist.
BBC. Yeah. Yep. And the witches are nurses.
Which is
right. Oh, the
right,
witches
which
are
is,
fabulous.
It's, and mm-hmm. it's so cool how they did that. And the idea that, like, I loved the way they introduced the show in terms of, like, it was very fast-paced and the injured sergeant coming in and all of that. And it was really great. I grew up in the Cincinnati area, and I saw it at the Cincinnati Shakespeare Festival.
Oh, yeah.
Done by the group that was there yep. doing all of those shows. And it was a good time I can't remember their names. I was, you know, pretty young. But I saw them in several shows, and all I remember from that production is we got to sit on stage for it. I was probably like 11 or 12.
Wow.
And we were on stage, and that Porter scene, the famous Porter scene, drunk yeah. Porter coming out yelling, he was in all of our faces. He was sweating, and his breath smelled terrible, and he was spitting on us, and like we were a bunch of like 11, because we went with our school, a bunch of 11, 12-year-olds like giggling and laughing at Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I mean, it was so much fun, and that's what I took away, and I've seen two or three live productions, but that was the one that I remember.
I ask that because, I mean, there's several reasons to, as far as your own path with the story. You may have seen something where you're like, okay, I can't do it like that. Shouldn't do it, you know, because certain choices are like, well, that choice is made. I know I want to do it this way, or I want to capture something like that. Mm-hmm. Adam and I were talking earlier. There's a film version of Macbeth with Sam Worthington that's kind of shot like an MTV video, and I think they wear more black than you guys.
Yeah.
But there is. So anyway, just things that you kind of okay. I got to make sure I want to do it like this as opposed to the way they did it. You know, and sometimes that can affect a choice as a performer or as a director. So that's I was just curious on that.
I think this production runs a little like for some reason I was. Just the story of Banquo and Macbeth was giving me the idea of Pride and Glory, Colin Farrell again.
Oh my gosh!
You have sent this note to Colin. Colin Farrell show all of a sudden. Edward Norton.
And
that's right, cop and criminal.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, and there's that element I think of Macbeth and Banquo anyway. That Banquo sort of plays along because he's his pal, but there's also this, you know, like. I don't think this is the right thing.
Which, for historians, you can go back to James Cagney and Pat O'Brien films from the Warner Brothers gangster films of the 30s. I'm sorry, I'm showing my age experience over youth. Continue.
all kinds of movies, yeah. But there's that element of, like, it's a buddy story with this twist of one of them's kind of corrupt and the other one's going along with him for a little while and then can't anymore, and that is what gets him nixed.
Brother, you are going down.
Thank you.
Yeah,
and
you like that?
Thank
you.
What happens.
That's right.
Anytime you can Pacino anything at me, I'm in. I love that.
We'll get to that later.
Thanks.
So.
All right.
I actually have only seen it on stage once. It was my senior year of college at Ball State, and it was a really earthy production.
I'm sorry, the Ball State University.
The Ball State University, chirp, chirp. And it was super earthy, and the witches, anytime they were, like, casting a spell, it was in Gaelic.
Ooh.
Which was interesting because it was sort of terrifying, and you didn't know what was going on. As someone who loves Shakespeare language, I was I wanted to hear the language. But then Lady Macbeth in the Come You Spirits That Tend on Mortal Thoughts, that was also Gaelic, which was interesting because there's that whole idea of, like, Lady Macbeth is the fourth witch. As so it was interesting to see that take on it.
You're the Billy Preston of the witches, Beatles reference. George Martin, whatever. Okay, so, and...
She's the most famous of them, though.
Yeah, that's kind of true. Have you seen The Real Housewives of Shakespeare?
No, but it's kind of that you'll see it in our show.
Really?
The Real Housewives has been used as a...
it's a template now for
right,
the
last. Right.
But no, there is actually a YouTube series.
No, that sounds
yeah, it's Gertrude, great. I think Gertrude, Juliet, Lady Macbeth.
Well, have you seen, this is a little off topic, but have you, like, it's
on
the,
this show?
The,
yeah.
Shakespeare Women's Gay Best Friend.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So Ophelia's about to drown herself.
What,
yep.
What
yes.
are you doing? Yeah.
And you've had water on you.
I'm familiar.
Yeah, a little bit. And I think there was also, I think, Shakespeare characters reading mean tweets a la Jimmy Kimmel. So is this the first time you two have worked together?
No.
Not at all,
What else have you worked on? And so now you have, but at least you have work experience to work on your dynamics together.
Yeah, we had two productions back to back.
Yes.
We were in a four-person play called Jason and Medea, where my wife played Medea and I played Jason.
Yes.
And then...
also a date and family play.
That's right. Mostly. And then we were in As You Like It together.
Yes.
Where my wife and I played Orlando and Rosalind.
And I played Rosalind's best friend. What a surprise. we're actually very close in real life. I was in Adam's wedding this summer. But then several years ago,
weren't there by the time I got there, but that's another story for another time.
So several years ago, we actually, in a Shakespeare class, did a Macbeth, Lady Macbeth scene
right.
together that then we were able to
that
do
they were
in
lucky
an audition.
Enough that I had selected as one of the...
As the audition piece.
It
audition
worked out
piece.
Very well for us.
Also, that's a shout out to Amy Hayes because she's a little prophet-like.
Goddess.
Yeah.
So I guess to the other, so you mentioned Guns and Drugs. So I guess the question, because I know you're doing it in the it's at the Fringe mm-hmm. and in the 11 space.
We're in the 11,
which is
yeah.
the smaller one. So I was concerned because I know there are fight scenes in this and also the size of the space. So mm-hmm. I guess I was wondering how that was being taken care of.
Close combat, ground and pound.
Be concerned. It'll be more fun if you're
well, it's
concerned.
It's not like rapier dagger. You don't need.
Right.
10 feet of space between
yeah,
two people.
Yeah, it is. It's the one thing that I always am nervous about with producing Shakespeare or even seeing Shakespeare is guns. Like, what do you do with guns? If you're modernizing
you
it, you have
them?
To have guns. Well, thank you. But the Shakespeare plays aren't generally written for an immediate death like that, you know, or a far away death. You always have to be close, except I guess.
But then you're monologuing like a Bond villain.
That's true. So after that, I'm like, I'm never going to do a show with guns, and then. I'm doing a show with a whole lot of guns.
A lot of guns.
And so it has to be like, there aren't a lot of gun deaths necessarily. There's a lot of like, let's get close and fight it out with other weapons, including our fists.
Really?
There's some great fights in the show. There really are. They're impressive.
How many people do you take down?
All of them.
In a way.
Yes.
I mean,
psychologically or physically?
Yeah. Yes, dear.
That's a subtitle.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I was joking earlier. Eventually there should be a talk show sequence. Like, and the subject is, they made me do it. And our guests are Macbeth and Othello. And meanwhile, there's Iago and Lady M over there. I don't know what they're doing.
You know what, though?
I did nothing.
You maybe can comment on this more. We talked about how this is the most functional marriage in Shakespeare. Like, I mean, it ends badly, sure, but they really are a great pair. until it all goes
until it goes bad.
Bad.
So Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, they I don't know. The way that we I think the way that we saw it was that she's not. There is some manipulation, but it's more that they fill each other's. You know, they're a great pair with each other.
I think so long as Claudio doesn't drink too much at Thanksgiving, I think he and Hero are going to be okay.
Okay. Well, but didn't he
I mean, you disrupt one wedding and it's your own.
He got pretty upset there. There's some
B&B, I think they'll do okay. They'll beat the crap out of each other, but I think they'll do well. By the way, Taming of the Shrew.
No comment.
Yeah.
Okay, but I think you guys should play, you four should play tennis.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Or pick up basketball.
Well, I think that the really interesting thing, if you think about when this play was written, Macbeth refers to his wife as his dearest partner of greatness. And for that to happen, I mean, that doesn't happen with Claudio and Hero. I think it is a true partnership, and he wants to keep her informed, and he wants her opinion, and he listens to her a lot. So I think...
Why'd you say that 3 feet behind her?
What she said.
Let me just take control.
You are learning, sir.
But there's something really powerful about that they are that entwined with each other, mm-hmm. That they're that in love and willing to do whatever it takes to help the other person succeed.
You finish each other's sandwiches.
Crusts and all.
Nice. Okay. So anyway, just to reiterate, so Macbeth... Cymbeline, Taming of the Shrew, and the complete works of Shakespeare unabridged, all happening as a part of Indie Bard Fest. You can go to indiebardfest.com for all the schedules. But I know you can rattle off the dates you guys are doing your shows.
Yeah.
Or else I have a screen in front of me. Either way.
It runs the 19th through the 29th. And then Macbeth itself will be the 21st, the 22nd, the 26th, 27th, 28th, and 29th.
There you go.
We should say let me just say a little more about Cymbeline because we've been.
Please do.
I was going to say Cymbeline is a beautiful idea that we've been talking with Tony, who is the director of that. It's set sort of barely pre Civil War, so antebellum South.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw the
beautiful
the page.
Costumes, really big saber fighting that they've been working on,
like literally kind of, saber rattling.
I just don't quote me on sabers, but the sword fighting and it's the whole cast is involved in, so it's gonna be a pretty big fight.
There's a huge battle scene in the middle of the play.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. He was telling me, "It's like and he has the biggest cast of all. So he's like, I have to pull these other actors to do these fight scenes because there's just so much going on that they're choreographing. So everything I've heard about it, it's been going really well.
But I think as we talk about the other shows as well, the great, you know, you can, as I mentioned earlier, I saw Cymbeline earlier this year. That was my first time seeing a production of it. So every production of a Shakespeare is going to be different. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the last time I saw Macbeth, and it's going to, you know, the next version I'm going to see after your guys', it's going to be different. So it's the same story, but different cut, different setting, different, obviously different actors. But I think the beauty of Shakespeare's work is that you can see several different versions of the same story. Mm-hmm. And you guys get a chance with yours. So, and Cymbeline, again, it's kind of like the Heartland Film Festival. It doesn't come across too often. And I know there are times where Shakespeare plays, it seems like there's a trend of them. Like, I remember...
Everybody did Lear
last
year.
I saw three productions of As You Like It in 4 months between, you know, Indianapolis, the colleges in the state. It just happens. And then you're probably good for a decade. But I think that's kind of cool that this version is different from that version. You might get burnt out, but then
you have something to compare it to.
Exactly.
So you're not just watching it. You're like, oh, you have a reference point on to compare what you liked better about one or the other or what was more effective or equally so.
So, and it's been a few years since I've seen Macbeth on stage, and it's been months for Cymbeline, and it's been years since Taming of the Shrew, which I heard we know a certain somebody who was buying costumes as we were working together this summer.
Yes, indeed.
Buying up every Elvis outfit and bunny costume in the central Indiana area.
And now she's bought all of the Hawaiian shirts of every Goodwill in the state.
That's a lot in this state.
Yeah.
If you want to look like a DJ from the 80s or Magnum P.I.
Yeah. So.
But anyway, so that those are all happening, and Complete Works, that's just fun. I mean, who's do we know who's in that cast?
I can find out.
If you would, please. Yeah. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. You can go to msoci@WFYI.org for questions or comments. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soci. And in the shameless plug department, Informed Consent is running at Richmond Civic Theater October 20th and 21st at 7:30 p.m. You can go to gorct.org for ticket information. I'm hanging out with the cast and director of Macbeth, which is running as a part of Bardfest October 19th through the 29th at the Fringe Theater, both spaces. Go to indiebardfest.com for more information. Did I give you enough time?
You did.
All right.
Just barely. It took me that long.
There you go.
So it is directed by Christy Clinton. Mm-hmm. And it's featuring Ron Richards, Ryan Shelton, and Adam Workman.
So three folks doing all of Shakespeare's plays fast and funny.
That
it's
is right.
hysterical. It's such a great play.
Yes, it is a lot of fun. And there's even a cooking demonstration thanks to Titus Andronicus, a
yes,
personal
indeed.
Fave.
Yes,
so.
Indeed.
All right. I guess when I wanted, cause we were talking earlier. Adam shows up early, so we kind of warm up.
Early.
So and
sure.
that's good. You're on
that's
time.
Good.
But have you experienced Scotland, PA?
Yes.
I was just talking about that with a friend today.
Because for me, when I get done with a show, once it's over, then I will go back and actually watch something that you know, if there is a film version or one I have on disc, and I just enjoy the hell out of Scotland, PA. And for those who don't know, it is a 70s fast food version of Macbeth. And it's not the text, but it's the story and the characters.
With like, wasn't Andy Dick one of the witches?
Andy Dick was one of the witches. Christopher Walken is a vegetarian,
like
Macduff. Laura Tierney is Lady M.
Someone dies in a fryer. Spoiler alert.
It's in the 70s, so there's a lot of Bad Company being used in it and music of the era. So I tend to say, I know you try not to watch a film version of the show you're working on. I think that's an exception to the rule, because it's not the text. So
for sure. Yeah.
So anyway.
What about the Shakespeare retold with James McAvoy, where Michelin
okay.
restaurant?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he becomes the head chef of this 4-star Michelin restaurant. It's also not the text. It's a really cool adaptation if you're not familiar with the show, or if you are, there are things to discover about it. There's great parallels.
There's a good 101 to get, because I know people sometimes are intimidated by these and thous and, you know, the talking funny that y'all do up there. but you know, things like 10 Things I Hate About You or She's the Man.
Lion King.
Those Danish lions.
Throne of Blood, which was.
Yeah, Throne of Blood. Kurosawa's Macbeth and The Bad Sleep Well, which is Kurosawa's Hamlet.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, that's. Have you seen Throne of Blood?
Mm-mm.
It's on my list after we finish this.
That's a really good one. Yeah. So thank you, Criterion. Thank you to Chira Mufuni, who also has a wallet that says bad on it. So he did. I'm sure he did. Okay, we got a few minutes left. I guess when you guys are working on a play, are you able to watch films freely and for leisure? And if you have, and if you do, what have you watched recently?
I can start, in
the case of you two, actually all of you, I mean, you need sometimes something to cleanse your palate.
Yeah, I sprained my ankle the night of the first rehearsal, like right after the read through, right before the, so I was like hopping in, seeing them. And
now is the winter of our discontent.
We did that. So I called in the next day at work because I couldn't walk. And so I had like an 80s sick day, and I watched Neverending Story for the very first time.
Really?
I had never seen that because it was on Netflix or anything like that. I mean, unfortunately, and I'm going to, like, this is sacrilege, but like I knew about the horse scene.
Right.
And I had seen so much, like so many memes and stuff about it, that I was expecting it to be longer.
Mm-hmm.
But didn't the horse actually die in that?
Like, spoiler alert on a 30-year-old picture.
I mean like in real life, not in the movie.
Oh, that I think PETA would have really gone to town on that. We would have heard about that.
Okay, I thought I heard that.
It's not like the Air Bud film where like seven dogs died during filming.
But then that same day, I rewatched I think three of the Indiana Jones films. Ooh. Unfortunately,
Adam Tran is crossing his arms and not acknowledging the one with the refrigerator. Is that what we're doing here?
That's what we're doing.
Controversial topic. I'm saying this on record.
Yep. Here it is.
The idea for the plot being a sci-fi alien flick, I think was the right idea. Poorly executed. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the other ones, they're pulp films from the 30s, and this one is 20 years later. It's the 50s. The pulp films of the 50s. It was the Cold War. It was paranoia. Yep. It was aliens. It was the right way to go. But I think Kate Blanchett thought she was in a campy movie, and
you just let Kate go.
Harrison Ford thought it was a serious movie, and then Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
I mean, he has too much baggage with him. Like, I think he's he can be a good actor. I think he just has too much baggage in that time.
So, Adam, I just want to make sure. So, the rail, the mining cart jump is fine, but hiding in a refrigerator, that's where you draw the line.
Swinging from the trees like a chimp, I think, was where I drew the line.
And the gophers in the beginning, the groundhogs were like, why? There was a lot of, like, really cutesy stuff that, like, the CGI just didn't quite make up. Like, I don't know. Like, the gophers were weird. Like, oh, I get it. Like, it's the Paramount Mountain.
Right.
That's funny. But then it was like they looked really fake. And
it was weird. Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of okay with the refrigerator because it is a lot of outrageous stuff. But the swinging through the vines, that was just like, you're just like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. You're about to do it. And then you.
And then they did it. So, well, it's, you know, because they can. So. Yeah. What else have you guys watched recently?
Well, I did see Mother. It took me a while. Like I did go to a yoga class afterwards, and I really needed it.
Good advice.
I really needed it. I would recommend that to anyone who sees it. There is some imagery in it. I feel like I can't give things away. There's some imagery in it that is helpful for Lady Macbeth.
As the quiver comes into her voice.
She's clawing her neck.
It was a very stressful movie. Like, I've thought about that movie every day since I saw it, like, 2 or 3 weeks ago. But then I'm also, from our rehearsals, I will decompress. I've been watching a lot of old Will and Grace just to kind of let go of.
You have to.
Hand washing.
There are certain things that we were talking about our first date movies earlier. You know, there are certain – you don't watch that and then go to bed.
Right.
Okay, yeah, we finished Requiem. Okay, let's go to sleep. No, you got to put something else in to clear your head.
You got to go to yoga class.
I like that. It's pretty good. So.
I think I've been watching exclusively palate cleansing things, actually. I watched, in one night, I watched All Eyes on Me and King Arthur.
The Guy Ritchie one?
Yeah. They're basically the same movie. If you want.
Really?
there's a lot of similarities in those movies, actually. The street fighting King Arthur, who was like.
It's weird. It's Guy Ritchie.
So it's very Guy Ritchie, yeah. And I watched. Kelsey and I just watched the new Pirates movie, which was really good, actually. Surprised.
When you got an island to support.
Is this like the 11th one? I can't keep track anymore. It's not what I call music.
So Javier Bardem got a lot of money to do that and got very little money to play He's Not God. But, you know,
him. Or
that's
it
right.
Is.
Capital
or,
H.
Yeah.
So in to work with Darren Aronofsky. So.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. I've been watching iZombie.
palate cleansing?
It's my palate It is, really. I mean, it's pretty campy.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, once again, IndieBardFest.com is running the 19th through the 29th, the complete works of Shakespeare on a Bridge, Macbeth, Taming of the Shrew, and Cymbeline. Guys, thanks for hanging out and just destroying radio. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
So. Always happy to do that.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie, you deserve it. And go see a play, you deserve it. There's plenty out there. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
Let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What kind of parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!